Intro to the Word. Please stand for Intro to the Word. Give me the Bible, 272.
Sabbath Church. Well, let's try it one more time. Happy Sabbath Church.
Happy Sabbath.
Oh, that sounded beautiful to a pastor's ears. Thank you, members and visitors alike. We have some visitors all the way from Australia. And so that is exciting. Where are you, by the way, you visitors from Australia? Oh, there you are. Okay, yes, I see a little resemblance there. So thank you so much for coming, all of you. It's a special high Sabbath as we partake of communion together. So we're so grateful that you are here with us. Communion service is a little different than our normal service. So I will explain at least five differences that I see. First of all, we have a homily. Usually I'd have my Bible up here or whoever is preaching and we'd go for 45 minutes, maybe, hour, possibly. But today it's 10 minutes long, so because there are other parts of our service that are so meaningful. So after the homily, we go out these doors and we go to foot washing. And if you've never done foot washing before, it's tremendous. It's Jesus' example, right? To wash one another's feet. And so we do that in order to prepare our hearts for the beautiful communion service, which is a positive thing. We don't come back sorrowful to communion, right? We come back rejoicing because all of the preliminaries have been taken away and taken care of, and we are ready for communion together. And we do partake of communion, open communion. You don't have to be a member here, but you do need to know what the emblems mean. And so we hope you will partake with us. By the way, if you weren't ready for the foot washing, it's like, whatever the case may be, you may stay right here. We'll be going out. We'll come back quite quickly, and we'll partake of communion together. So you can just stay here and prepare your heart here for the communion to take place. So that is four things. The fifth one is we have an offering at the back of the church this week at the end of the service. It's the only week we do it, but we do take the other offering on second Sabbath for Sierra Leone mission. But generally, it's the only Sabbath that we do it. So having said all that, the imagery today in the homily is about the cup. Right? Because there are many cups at the Passover. I'm not going to be going into that directly. But just a little bit about cup in the Old Testament. The word cup meant a container, which is, of course, the most literal and obvious meaning. Many times when you wonder, what does that mean in the Bible? It usually means what it says, quite frankly. Sometimes it's prophetic and you need to look deeper, but often it means what it says. And so cup is often cup. But interestingly enough, that now in the masculine gender, the word, that's the feminine gender, it's cup. In the masculine gender, the word could actually mean a small owl. Isn't that interesting? as used in Leviticus 11, where you have the clean and unclean animals. Now, when the word is used figuratively, which is what we're mainly going to talk about today, it most often speaks of someone's portion or their lot in life, right? We consider, oh, yeah, no, that's my cup. This is my cup. This is, you know, my portion. This is what God has given me. It is used in a positive sense as a cup. We'll look at some of those, but often also in a negative sense, both to the nations in general and to Jerusalem itself. A couple examples, Jeremiah 25:15. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, take the cup of the wine of wrath from my hand and cause all nations to whom I send you to drink it. And Isaiah similarly says this, but in regards to Jerusalem, rouse yourself, arise, O Jerusalem, you who have drunk from the Lord's hand the cup of his anger, the chalice of reeling you have drained to the dregs. And so this is often the meaning of the cup, and I think it's exactly that cup and that meaning that Christ points to when he said, you know, there to the Father, oh, if this cup could only pass from me, but nevertheless, thy will be done. The cup that he was drinking was the cup of our sins, God's wrath against sin, which is our sins. And so, were you there when they crucified my Lord? The answer is yes, we were. The New Testament, of course, also, the book of Revelation, we know the third angel's message, that is the third of the angels, said with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive a mark in his forehead or on his hand, he also will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out in full strength in the cup of his anger. So this is the cup of wrath that humanity deserves, right? Because we have sinned and fallen short. We have sinned and we fall short of God's glory. But we can be thankful and we celebrate today that Christ has drank that cup for us. Amen? It is the cup of God's wrath against sin that was crushing out the life of God's beloved Son in Gethsemane. It was there that the moon shone through a cloudless sky, and Christ was prostrated upon the ground, just hoping that he wouldn't be swallowed up by the earth itself. It was there that Christ tasted the second death for every man and experienced the wrath of God for every man. He took sin upon himself. He, of course, never sinned, but he took our sins that we might become the righteousness of God in him. It was there in his humanity that he cried out, let this cup pass from me, but if not, thy will be done. And so Christ, as he was ushering in the transition between two great economies, right? That of the Passover to that of the Last Supper, said, take this cup, which is poured out for you, and drink all of it, for it is the new covenant in or through or by my blood. He would drink the cup of God's wrath for our sins to save us, no matter what the cost. Psalms 11:6 says, upon the wicked he shall rain snares and fire and brimstone and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. This was the cup that Christ drank to the full for us. Christ died that we might be forgiven and transformed. The merits of his sacrifice are sufficient to present to the Father in our behalf. Those to whom he has forgiven most will love him most and will stand nearest to his throne to praise him for his great love and his infinite sacrifice. It is when we most fully comprehend the love of God that we best realize the sinfulness of sin. When we see the length of the chain that was let down for us. When we understand something of the infinite sacrifice that Christ has made on our behalf, the heart is melted with tenderness and contrition. And so we commemorate today that Christ at Golgotha drank God's cup of wrath against sin down to the dregs. We commemorate that at infinite cost, it's hard to wrap our minds around infinite cost, Christ suffered through the fires of hell, so to speak, tasting the second death for us and offering us in its place eternal life with him. As we go now to the foot washing, let us marvel at the perfect life Christ lived in the flesh and the ransom that he paid by his death. This quote from the book Desire of Ages before we go off. The spotless Son of God hung upon the cross, his flesh lacerated with stripes. Those hands that so often reached out in blessing nailed to the wooden bars. Those feet so tireless on ministries of love spiked to the tree. That royal head pierced by the crown of thorns. Those quivering lips shaped to the cry of woe. And all that he endured, the blood drops that flowed from his head, his hands, his feet, the agony that racked his frame, and the unutterable anguish that filled his soul at the hiding of the Father's face, speaks to each child of humanity. Would that include you? Yes, each child of humanity. I used to think, oh, that's just for us believers and us taking communion. For each child of humanity, declaring that it is for you, that the Son of God consents to bear this burden of guilt. For you, he spoils the domain of death and opens the gates of paradise. He who stilled the angry waves and walked the foam-capped billows, who made devils tremble and disease flee, who opened the eyes of the blind and called forth the dead to life, offers himself as a sacrifice, and this from love to you. He, the sin-bearer, endures the wrath of divine justice. This is still from that quote. And that is what drinking the cup means. For your sake, and becomes sin itself. Let's pray before we go to the foot washing. Oh, Father, the infinite cost of our salvation is beyond our comprehension. But Lord, we want to understand it. And we know the more we appreciate your love and this amazing condescension of Christ to come all the way down. The chain that was let down from heaven is a long chain. He came all the way down and became one of us and lived the perfect life that we have not lived and died the death that we deserved. And so today we commemorate this amazing sacrifice. And we do it, we don't just do it now, we keep doing it until he comes again, because he will not taste of the fruit of the vine again until he tastes it with us in the kingdom made new. So as we go now to the foot washing, help us to appreciate more than ever the great sacrifice that was made for us, and the high priestly ministry that continues to apply that perfect and finished work to our lives. We thank you and praise you in Christ's holy name. Amen.